I'm Dick Buckley. Have 3 hours of jazz for you. Yes, we're here with 3 hours of classic jazz, the good old good ones, the jazz giants, and hope that you'll be with us from now until 3 o'clock. It happens every Sunday from noon until 3. And we have Muggsy Spanier and his V-Disc All-Stars to begin this afternoon. Recorded in New York City for V-Disc October 17th of 1944. Muggsy had on hand Lou McGarrity, trombone, Pee Wee Russell, clarinet, Boomy Richmond, tenor saxophone, Jess Stacy, the pianist, High White, guitar, Bobby Haggard, bass, and George Wetling, the drummer. This is the Jazz Me Blues.
Thank you.
Mugsy Spanier and his V-Disc All-Stars. And that was the Jazzy Blues. Along with Mugsy, we heard Lou McGarrity trombone, Pee Wee Russell clarinet, Boomy Richmond tenor sax, Jess Stacy, High White, Bob Haggart, and George Wetling in the rhythm section. October 17th of 1944, the guys recorded that one for V-Disc. Here's a piano solo by Chicago's own Joe Sullivan. He recorded this one September 26th of 1933, and it's one of the things that kind of lived down through the years through the Bob Crosby Band, although he didn't record it for the Bob Crosby Band, but Jess Stacy, Bob Zirke did. Here's the piano solo that Joe did of the Gin Mill Blues. Sullivan playing the Gin Mill Blues, piano solo from September 26th of 1933. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley. Have jazz records here for you. If you just tuned in, we just started. We've got until 3 o'clock this afternoon to play the good old good ones. We play classic jazz, the jazz giants of the past and of today. I think good old good ones best describes it. We can thank Louis Armstrong for that description. Here's Sidney Bechet and a side that he recorded in a jazz concert in Paris where he spent his later years. This is his most famous composition. I think the announcer introduces this one. We'll check it out and see. An album on the Europe One label. That was Sidney Bechet in concert. Petite Fleur. Here's an early one by Eddie Condon. Eddie always managed to come up with gigs, not regularly, but every once in a while he'd get the guys a gig. They said they used to eat those transparent hamburgers until Eddie would come through. This one was done in New York City, October 27th of 1933, Eddie Condon and his orchestra with Max Kaminsky, trumpet, Floyd O'Brien, trombone, Pee Wee Russell, clarinet, Bud Freeman, tenor saxophone, Alex Hill, the pianist, and he also did this arrangement, Eddie Condon's guitar, Artie Bernstein bass, and Big Sid Catlett, the drummer. This one of my favorite Condon things, Madam Dynamite.
Thank you.
Eddie Condon with Madame Dynamite. And that was with Max Kaminsky, cornet, Floyd O'Brien, trombone, Pee Wee Russell, clarinet, Bud Freeman, tenor saxophone, Alex Hill, the pianist. Eddie Condon says banjo. Was he playing the banjo there, I guess? Says so. Artie Bernstein, bass, and Sidney Catlett, the drummer. Madame Dynamite. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records. We do this sort of thing every Sunday from noon until 3 o'clock, playing the good old good ones, jazz giants of the past and jazz giants of the present. Here's one of the not-too-distant past, certainly one of the jazz giants. We have Bud Powell coming up next, thing that Bud recorded for Norman Granz in January or February of 1949. Norman did everything except keep track of some of his recording dates, and so they could only guess at them. January or February of 1949. Ray Brown was the bassist and Max Roach the drummer, and Bud giving Cherokee a once over one more time. Used to amaze the piano players of the day. Bud Powell's recording of Cherokee, with Ray Brown bass, Max Roach the drummer, in the winter of 1949, January or February, they say. Here is the latest addition to the Woofy Productions running series of Connie Condoli and Carl Fontana. First, the last recordings of Connie and Carl, the last recording of Connie before he died, and the last recordings of Carl before his Alzheimer's got so bad that he couldn't play any longer. And I understand that it's that's the way the disease is, and he's just he is in that final condition. But they made good music together while they were together. This is on the Woofy label. Woofy is Bob Lorenz's cat, and he thought it would make a good name for a record label. It shows the cat asleep over the name Woofy, as cats are always asleep someplace. Here's, along with Carl Fontana, trombone, and Connie Condoli, trumpet, Bill Anderson is the pianist, Warren Jones the bassist, and Bob Wainwright is the drummer. Carl Fontana, Connie Condoli Quintet, Volume 5. I understand there are going to be 6 volumes in the series. This is a nice, easy, relaxed thing. Horace Silver wrote it and called it Strolling. Thank you. the Conti Candoli Carl Fontana Quintet, Volume 5, with Bill Anderson, the pianist, Warren Jones, the bassist, and Rob Wainwright, the drummer. And that was Strolin' Horace Silver composition. Here's another trombone and this time cornet combination, kind of the other side of the pendulum. This is Jack Teagarden. Without Jack Teagarden, there would have been no Carl Fontana, that's for sure. Jack Teagarden and Bobby Hackett from their album Coast Concert. And this is the beauty, the ballad style, the beauty of the ballad style of Teagarden and Hackett. I guess I'll have to change my plans. Coast Concert, featuring Bobby Hackett and Jack Teagarden. And I guess I'll have to change my plans. You know, I've heard, I think it was here I heard it, that the blues is good for what ails you. The blues makes you feel good if you're feeling bad. And if you're feeling bad, it can make you feel badder. And Pee-wee Russell, you never want to listen to Pee-wee Russell if you want to feel good. If you're feeling bad and you've really got the blues, Pee-wee is in there to sympathize with you. Can you get? Pee Wee Russell and Buck Clayton. From Prestige album originally called Swingin' with Pee Wee, has been reissued on one of those twofers now that includes Pee Wee's album Portrait of Pee Wee and Swingin' with Pee Wee. And that one featured Buck Clayton along with Pee Wee Russell's clarinet, Tommy Flanagan, Wendell Marshall, and Ozzy Johnson in the rhythm section from March 29th of 1960. Englewood was the name of it. Here's one just made to order for the time we have left. Billy May and the orchestra and Guys and Dolls. Dick Buckley will be right back in a couple of minutes with more jazz from WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
Support for this WBEZ program is provided by Symphony Sound, featuring a variety of high-end audio and video equipment for the home. Symphony Sound is Chicago's only premier Macintosh dealer. More information, symphonysound.com. Chicago Public Radio, supported by Navy Pier, celebrating the summer season with fireworks displays every Wednesday and Saturday night through August 30th. Information about this and other events and activities taking place at Navy Pier can be found online at NavyPier.com. We're broadcasting from the Lehman Family Public Radio Center at Chicago's Navy Pier. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM, and WBEZ.org.
Count Basie and the orchestra to begin hour number two from February of 1949. This was getting near the end of the big band for Basie. It was getting just economically impossible to keep a big band on the road. But while he had it on the road, he kept a swinging band, of course. Rhythm section, a little different in that Freddie Green was there, of course. Singleton Palmer out of St. Louis was the bassist, and Butch Ballard was the drummer. But with Freddie Green and Basie, it still had pretty much the same sound to the rhythm section. The tenor solo here, I understand, is taken by a fella who was there for a brief time named Bill Parker, better known as Weasel. And I think you'll also hear some Dickie Wells trombone. We'll listen. This is called Mine Too. By the way, this was one of the Victor recordings by Basie. Mine Too. Oh, and by the way, I always used to wonder who the lead trumpet player was with this band. Had that powerhouse trumpet section of, Emmett Berry, Clark Terry, Jimmy Nottingham, Gerald Wilson. And Sweets was there, Sweets Edison, did I say? So I couldn't figure who was playing lead, and I asked Clark Terry, and Clark said that the lead was Jimmy Nottingham. He powerhouse lead, but he does what you don't like to hear a lead trumpet player do. He stands out above the rest of the section. He's one of those guys who blows up and expects everybody to come up to where he is, and it doesn't always work out that way. Anyway, here is Mine Too, Count Basie. 9-2. Count Basie and the orchestra from February of 1949. Not too many months after that, he had to break up that band. It was just economically impossible to keep it on the road, and he traveled for a couple of years with the Little Sextet. Featured Clark Terry and Wardell Gray and Buddy DeFranco and a couple of others. Here's Woody Herman. This is one of the sides recorded in Omaha, Nebraska, June 7th of 1957. These things were floating around among Herman collectors as tapes, bootleg tapes. And they're finally out on record, and they're cleaned up and sound, have reasonable sound. And Bill Harris was with the band, and so the billing on the album is Woody Herman Live featuring Bill Harris, Omaha, Nebraska, June 7th, 1957. This is a thing that Shorty Rogers wrote and arranged for the band. Jimmy Cook, the two tenor soloists are featured first, Jimmy Cook, followed by Jay Migliori, and then the two trombones, Bill Harris, followed by Willie Dennis. Herman's clarinet and Johnny Bunch at the piano, and that takes care of it. This is The Square Circle. Ba, ba, ba. Thank you. Woody Herman and the orchestra from June 7th, 1957 in Omaha, Nebraska. That was Square Circle. Shorty Rogers wrote it and arranged it for the band. It featured the two tenor men at the time. Jimmy Cook had the first tenor solo, followed by Jay Migliori, and then the two trombones, Bill Harris, followed by Willie Dennis. Willie Dennis, who had that against-the-grain style of playing that's different from almost anybody. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records, listening to some of the big bands at the moment. This is a thing that Duke recorded August 8th of 1966 in New York. It was one of those things that went into the stockpile. And originally, when this was played in person at a concert, Johnny Hodges was featured, called the Old Circus Train Turnaround Blues. Here, Duke decided to do it in the studio and feature Jimmy Hamilton playing the tenor saxophone. The Old Circus Train Turnaround. Duke Ellington and the orchestra from the 8th of August. 18th of August, okay. 1966, that was the old circus train, featured Jimmy Hamilton's tenor saxophone. Here's Charlie Barnett. I think, if memory serves me correctly, Tiny Khan did this arrangement. This is when Barnett had that unbelievable, that killer trumpet section with Johnny Howell playing lead, Maynard Ferguson doing the doubling the lead, sometimes playing the upper register stuff, Rolf Erickson, Doc Severinsen, and Ray Wetzel. That, friend, is a trumpet section. That's a trumpet section to die for. And as I say, I think Tiny Khan did this arrangement, and although the liner notes are no help, it's one of those typical capital liner notes with it's a big blast for the album. You know, you're supposed to read it in the record store and then buy the album and run home and listen to it. But this features Ray Wetzel's trumpet along with another trumpet player who's I don't know, but it had to be from among Rolf Erickson, Maynard Ferguson, Johnny Howell, and Doc Severinsen. And just a lovely, lovely arrangement of Over the Rainbow. Outstanding trumpet work. Let's play that again and listen to the trumpets. First, it says it features Ray Wetzel, so I would guess that Ray Wetzel plays the first chorus. The trumpets, near the end, they use two or three of them, and I think they breathe through their earlobes because you just can't hear them take a breath, and they hold those notes till my lungs are fighting for air. Again, the trumpet section is, I'll never forget what's his name, Rolf Erickson, Maynard Ferguson, Johnny Howell, Doc Severinsen, and Ray Wetzel. I could play trumpet like that. I'd just sit around and amaze myself. I wouldn't care if anybody heard me. Just amaze myself at the beauty of it all. Over the Rainbow, Charlie Barnett. When did he record that? August 16th of 1949. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley with the Jazz Records. We have Earl Hines coming up. This was Earl Hines from the mid-1930s here in Chicago, the Grand Terrace Band. This was, read the liner notes and see what they say, Cavernism. Oh, I see. Here we go. Yeah. They have different ways of writing the notes. This was September 13th of 1934, and I'm always amazed at the quality of recording for 1934. Just the presence is unbelievable. Earl Hines in the orchestra. Trummy Young's trombone is heard from. Walter Fuller's trumpet. And Darnell Howard playing violin on this one. And, of course, Earl Hines at the piano. Cavernism. Earl Hines and the orchestra. Unbelievable quality for a 1934 recording. And that was Cavernism. I think Jimmy Mundy has composer's credit on that. And he has arranger's credit. Composers says Charlie Davis and Walter Melrose. All right. Never know what you find out when you read the liner notes, huh? This one falls under the category of records found while looking for other records. Thanks to the late Sidney J. Harris for that. The Jazz Giants of 56. Norman Granz recorded Roy Eldridge, Vic Dickinson, and Lester Young with a rhythm section of Teddy Wilson, Freddie Green, Gene Ramey, and Joe Jones. The Jazz Giants of 56. And this is, I guess I'll have to change my plans.
Thank you.
Jazz Giants of 56, or name the year. Anyone, any year you'd care to add to that. There was Lester Young, tenor saxophone, Vic Dickinson, trombone, Roy Eldridge, trumpet. Teddy Wilson was the pianist, with Freddie Green, guitar, Gene Ramey, bass, and Joe Jones, the drummer. Norman Granz recorded that January 12th of 1956. Found Prez just fresh out of Bellevue and in such good shape that he scheduled a recording the next day for Prez with Teddy Wilson, and that's one of another one of Prez's great albums. WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio, I'm Dick Buckley with the Jazz Records. Here's Oscar Peterson. I'm surprised more artists don't do what Oscar did here, that is, dig into the Duke Ellington songbook and find some gems. Oscar came up with Lady of the Lavender Mist. Thank you. Oscar Peterson, piano solo, Dukes, Lady of the Lavender Mist. May 25th of 1974, Oscar recorded that. The Ellington songbook is just, it's like a gold mine. You could go in there blindfolded and pick out something that's lovely, that's never been played or been played so seldomly. I'm surprised that more artists don't do it. Maybe they're not aware. Here's one of those albums that Duke and Johnny Hodges made together. The first one was back-to-back, and then they followed it up with some things that were left over from the session, called it Side by Side, with Johnny Hodges' alto saxophone, Harry Edison's trumpet, Al Hall, the bassist, Les Spann, the guitarist, and Joe Jones, the drummer, and of course Duke at the piano. And this, out of the Ellington Songbook from 1934, one of the things that they played all down through the years, Stumpy Jones. Boy, it doesn't take a lot of people to swing you into bad health, does it? That was Duke Ellington at the piano, Johnny Hodges, alto saxophone, Sweets Edison's trumpet, Al Hall, the bassist, Les Spahn, the guitarist, and Joe Jones, the drummer, and Stompy Jones, one that goes back to 1934 out of the Ellington book. And Duke and the band played it all down through the years. The outstanding one, well, there are several outstanding ones, but the one that when Cat Anderson was with the band and he took over the last few choruses, you would have sworn that it was Louis Armstrong leading a New Orleans parade, the way he led them through that one. I always think of Les Spahn. I remember when I was in Indianapolis back in the early 1950s, and they had this great little band at the Tropic Club. Johnny Bunch was the pianist. Wes Montgomery was the guitarist. Brother Monk Montgomery was the bassist. The original bassist was Leroy Vinegar, and he left, and Monk Montgomery came in, which is not a bad replacement. Willie Baker was the tenor saxophonist. Willie had been with name bands, came back home to live in Indianapolis. And Roger Jones was the trumpet. Roger, who had spent time with Cab Calloway's band. It was a great little group. And every Saturday was jam session day. Whoever came by and brought their horn and wanted to play could. Oh, and Charlie Mastropola was the drummer. Charlie, who's one of the good, underrated, overlooked, forgotten drummers. Anyway, Les Spahn used to come in. I think he was going to Memphis State at the time. He used to come in with his flute, and everybody thought of him as a flute player. But what he was doing was paying attention to Wes Montgomery. Like he was a student of Wes's, and pick up all of the Wes Montgomery mannerisms and playing in octaves and everything. And then later, we hardly ever hear of Les Spahn playing the flute, but you heard him a lot there in mid and late 1950s, playing the guitar a la Wes Montgomery. I wonder what ever happened to Les Spahn. He was on the scene for a short time and then just kind of disappeared. Well, hey, we got to disappear for a couple of minutes and then right back with more. I'm Dick Buckley. This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio.
The following is a public service announcement provided by Chicago Public Radio. The Moon 2 Dance Theater dances into the summer with its third annual Live at the Pier performance. The show is this Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock at Navy Pier's Skyline Stage. For more information, call 773-602-1135 or log on to moon2.com. This is Chicago Public Radio.
Support for this WBEZ program is provided by Audio Consultants. Catalogs and more information are available at any of their four locations in Evanston, Hinsdale, Libertyville, or downtown Chicago. They're online at audioconsultants.com or call 847-864-9565. Audio Consultants, the finest in audio and video since 1967. This Chicago Public Radio announcement is provided by CAN TV. Health professionals make referrals and take on-air questions about risk reduction on AIDS Call-In Live Mondays and Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. on cable channel CAN TV 21 in Chicago. This is Chicago Public Radio, WBEZ Chicago, 91.5 FM, and WBEW Chesterton, 89.5 FM.
When people think of West Coast jazz, they usually think of the jazz, the early 1950s that started with the Jerry Mulligan Quartet and the Dave Brubeck Quartet and Stan Getz Quintet, all of those cool sounds that came out of Los Angeles. They forget about all of the years from the end of World War II through the late 1940s and into the 1950s. There was a whole new generation of jazz musicians growing up in Los Angeles along Central Avenue where the action was. And there was a midnight closing law in Los Angeles for nightclubs. And so they had to find some place to play, and it was usually an after-hours place or whatever. But a lot of young musicians competed with each other. One of the things that the fans began to look forward to were the tenor battles. Tenor battles weren't a new thing, been going on for a long while, but The Battles were not just two ordinary tenor players. They were a young Wardell Gray and a young Dexter Gordon. Wardell and Dexter had at each other all up and down the coast various sessions. Fortunately for us, a lot of them were recorded, so we can hear the tenor battles as they went on. Of course, they weren't keeping records in those days of who played what and who was present and all of that. Much of it depends on the memory of those who were there, but various stories about how they were recorded, too. The sides that came out on the Savoy label that ran 15, 20 minutes to a side were generally recorded by Ralph Bass with two disc recorders so that they could tag them together and make one continuous track, but the two disc recorders had different qualities and different one would have one fault here and another a fault there and cutouts here and cutouts there, and it took a lot of piecing together to get the things to sound right. The ones that Gene Norman put out were actually recorded at one of the Gene Norman concerts, so we have the advantage of professional recording equipment on that one, and that's what we're going to start with. These things are from 1952, February of 1952, so the tenor battles had been going on for quite some time. You'll hear Dexter and Wardell and the two tenors, and Bobby Tucker, who was Billie Holiday's accompanist at the time, is the pianist. Don Bagley out of the Canton Band was the bassist, and Chico Hamilton, the drummer. This is from the Gene Norman Presents concert, February 2nd, 1952. This is The Chase. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
Gordon and Wardell Gray at a Gene Norman Presents concert at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. That was February 2nd of 1952. Wardell and Dex had been at it for a few years by that time, and especially Dexter knew what got to the crowd. You could hear that Wardell was fighting Dexter and the crowd. Dex would come in and play some honks and squeaks and whatever, and the people would go crazy, and you could hardly hear the things that Wardell played, which were always ideas. It's an amazing thing about these. The earlier sides were better because they didn't go so much for the crowd reaction. You can tell where Jazz at the Philharmonic came from, too, huh? This is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. I'm Dick Buckley here with the Jazz Records. And this afternoon in our third hour, we're listening to some of the tenor battles that took place in Los Angeles in the late 1940s and early 1950s, especially the tenor battles between Dexter Gordon and Wardell Gray. Here's one that, again, is from that fabulous concert at the Elks Club on Central Avenue in Los Angeles, July 6th of 1947. They had a mixture of young and old. Howard McGhee was there with his trumpet. Trummy Young, of the swing era, certainly playing a different style than the rest of the guys there, but always great. Trummy Young, trombone. Sonny Chris at his Charlie Parker best, is alto saxophone. And the two tenors, of course, Wardell and Dexter. Hampton Hawes is the pianist. Barney Kessel is the guitarist. And Red Callender's bass, and Roy Porter is the drummer. And this one, based on the chords of Stomping at the Savoy. This one they call Buy Us a Drink.
We'll be right back.
Dexter Gordon, Wardell Gray, and friends at the Elks Club on Central Avenue in Los Angeles, July 6th of 1947. That was, pardon me, Trummy Young, trombone, Sonny Criss, the alto saxophonist, Wardell and Dexter, the two tenors, and Howard McGee, trumpet. Hampton Hawes was the pianist, Barney Kessel, guitar, Red Callender, bass, and Roy Porter, the drummer. Buy Us a Drink, they called it. It was based on the chords of Stompin' at the Savoy. We're listening to some of the recorded tenor battles between Dexter Gordon and Wardell Gray on the West Coast back in the late 1940s and early 1950s. Here's one that anytime there's a jam session going on any place, they come up with Cherokee. This is the same group. And this came out as Cherry Coke, so they didn't have to pay any royalties. Also, one of the releases, they called it Geronimo. It's good old Cherokee. With any luck at all. Thank you. to cut in on Dexter like this, but it has to be done because we're running out of time. Listening to the tenor battles of Dexter Gordon and Wardell Gray in Central Avenue in Los Angeles back in the late 1940s and early 1950s. This one, Cherokee, was recorded July 6th of 1947. And a lot of good blowing and a lot of blowing for the crowd, too. But it was interesting. I'm glad we've got these things. I've been thinking about playing them for a long while. Finally got around to it. Hey, that's all we have time for. I hope you listen every Sunday. We're here from noon until 3 o'clock with good old jazz records for you. And anything else I need to say? No. Just this is WBEZ, Chicago Public Radio. Happiness.